the ANews podcast. This is episode 49 for February 2nd, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. Editorial. Note, this is an editorial by ANews. Now on with our program. Tech atomizes. Or, how can I find like-minded others without the internet? I get it. The internet is an unsavory place. I'm sick of scrolling through Facebook. In fact, I really think I'm almost done with it for real this time. I'm tired of notifications. I'm so sick of advertisements embedded in my stream of information about my friends. Yeah, my stream, as if I have any say about what goes on in it. It's becoming a boring soap opera I don't even want to watch. It isn't even fun anymore. I'm tired of being manipulated by clickbait, and of seeing things I click on become more and more frequent in my feeds. I'm tired of Facebook figuring me out and using it against me. And yet, the outside world doesn't seem to offer much else. I've been to the bookstores, the queer dance events, the prison letter exhibits, the house parties, the marches, the demonstrations, the anime meetups, the organizing meetings, the clandestine actions. And the lack of intimacy seems very much the same. There doesn't seem to be a lot of room in this world for forging deep and meaningful connections with others, and that seems to have little to do with whether those interactions are in person or online. But the one thing the internet has that the physical world around me does not is that it spans continents. It crosses borders, crosses cultures. I know like-minded others are out there. I've read and been inspired by their words in random posts here and there, in essays, in forums, in comments. Maybe some of them are entirely off-grid, but I'm sure there are others who participate online, future collaborators, co-conspirators, accomplices, and allies. That's why I keep scrolling. I also know that online communication isn't ideal. Everything powerful about body language and vocal inflection and gesture is lost. Online collaborations never seem to go anywhere. Being saturated in meme and troll culture brings out the worst of us. I get it. Communication online is entirely inferior to collaboration in person. But how can I find like-minded others without the internet? Am I supposed to travel to every continent to actually step my foot on every part of the land, to embed myself within every possible culture, to gamble on the odds of meeting like-minded people and the teeming masses of others whose time is as limited as mine? Ideally, someday we'll find ourselves together in flickering firelight or stalking elk through the damp canyon forests around the ruins of Rockefeller Center or whatever. And our conversations will only be logged by the stars, and our actions will say more than our words ever can. Until then, look for me on Twitter. Put that away and talk to me. Put that away. What's new this week? Update for Beyond Anti-Fascism, but not without it. Note, the people behind this call for papers have distanced themselves from the links previously included in the call for papers. They have reissued the post without the links to the articles from Marikat, who apparently is not a good actor. All other information apparently remains the same, although I did not examine them with a microscope.
We are those the fascists hate, from Echo Revolt blog.wordpress.com, which is, quote, an outlet for echo insurrection and guerrilla ontology. This is a fairly brief blog post that equates fascism with civilization to make all the bad things. Quote, we who embrace wild being, seeking to relinquish ourselves from repression in the animal ego renunciation, who find beauty in the dark ineffable that defies encoding. We live within the energetic flow of life that fascism hates before all else. Like Romans looking upon the Druids who refused encoding into history, and embrace the uncanny wild, fascists on both sides of the political cartography will seek to depict as monsters of the feral enemies of history. Monsters to be tamed, caged, or slayed, as all the myths require. In our becoming animal, we become werewolves who howl to the night. Wolves, fascists declare, must be made into dogs, unquote. If we might make a gentle suggestion, proofreading is frequently helpful, even sometimes for blog posts.
Italy. Update on Crocenera Anarchica and the Anarchist Prisoners Fund. From Act for Freedom Now. This is a report on how the Italian Anarchist Black Cross and the Anarchist Prisoners Fund are working after a change in policy and a rejection of some people. If you don't remember or didn't know about the changes, they're not explained or linked, so this is a little mysterious. But good for them for being transparent about process, I guess. Quote, First of all, after we first individually and then publicly faced the irregularities that had sadly emerged, we don't intend to go back to this. As we said then, the Anarchist Black Cross Project continues with the same enthusiasm and determination in spite of various difficulties and in the awareness of our limits. As we respect ourselves and most importantly the anarchists who strive to collect money to finance the project, we went through a change in the editorial group and we cut our relations with certain people whom we have publicly warned against. The fund is a vital part of the project. It is not detached from the totality of the project and it goes alongside it, as many anarchists know, unquote.
Class War Scotland member on trial for displaying a poster in his window from Freedom News. The story of police harassing someone apparently for being an anarchist with the catalyst of a poster that said, "Fuck off, you Tory cunts." Quote, David's trial took place mid-January at Glasgow Sheriff Court, and the case has been adjourned till June. If David is found guilty, he plans to seek the help of Amnesty International and to take the case to the European Court of Human Rights, unquote.
Russian Federation, call for solidarity international campaign with repressed Russian anarchists from the 5th till the 12th of February. From Contra Info, a call for actions in support of tortured Russian anarchists who are suffering from the state attacks due to the elections coming in 2018. Quote, in recent years, we could see how the anarchist movement increased its activity after the repressions of 2012. These repressions can only intimidate people and crush the anarchist movement. So it's necessary to show that we are not afraid and we can't be destroyed by their force. Otherwise, the repressions will be used every time the anarchist movement catches the attention of the FSS, the Federal Security Service. We should show them that the stronger their repression, the more furious will be our resistance. Now it's important to support the prisoners to prevent the continuation of the witch hunt and give global publicity to this event. February 5th to February 12th are the days of solidarity with repressed Russian anarchists. Unquote.
Soul, this moment calls for nuance and poetry from the Denver Westward by Kyle Harris. This is a sweet article about an anarchist musician by someone who appreciates him and what he's trying to do. It touches on local politics, on other political DJs, and it feels homey. Like I said, sweet. Quote, amid the music scene's political activism and posturing, Holland is shifting his strategy from on-the-nose anarchist propaganda to literary precision. Sure, he still describes his music as revolutionary, but it's poetic. He takes inspiration from the Situationists, Tikkun, and the Invisible Committee, all proponents of various stripes of high theory, bold, militant, anti-authoritarianism that challenges how everyday people relate to the capitalist economy, the state, and what Guy Debord refers to as the society of the spectacle. I'm trying to be less slogany with my shit and more poetic, Holland says. I feel like that's what the moment calls for, nuance and poetry, unquote.
Paris, France. Incendiary attack against a diplomatic vehicle and solidarity with anarchist prisoners. From Insurrection News Worldwide. A brief communique. Quote, we were walking through the rich neighborhoods on Monday night looking for a way to ruin their sleep. We do not wait patiently for a hypothetical revolution to come when we really don't know when and we really don't know how, as if it's going to fall down from the sky. A revolution that will probably not happen if we just wait for it patiently. We decided we wanted to attack now and destroy a small part of what destroys our lives little by little by imprisoning our desires. Consumed by these thoughts, we came across a big BMW with diplomatic core plates at the start of Cardinet Street. Needless to say, the luxury vehicle was on fire within minutes. Unquote.
Addendum for National Electoral Strategy Proposal from DSA Libertarian Socialist Caucus. It's good to keep an eye on what anarchist-adjacent people are doing, right?
Czech Republic. New text of anarchist Lukáš Borl from Act for Freedom Now. A blog post by Borl, who lived underground for a year before being caught as part of the entrapment project in the Czech Republic called Operation Phoenix. F-E-N-I-X. Quote, they taught us in school that slavery was abolished. However, when we look at the conditions of imprisoned people, we can see that slavery only changed its face. The prisoners from Vyšnorie may not be a trading commodity like the slaves in the past, but they are still subjected to violent enslavement. They are forced to work hard without any claims for wage, and somebody else profits from their work. They are punished if they refuse to work in that conditions. And they are also held behind the walls in iron chains by their slavers. And their enslavement is also hypocritically advocated by talking about that they have offended the morals of Christian civilization by their living, and so it's right to treat them this way. Unquote.
Indonesian Uber drivers fight back with anarcho-syndicalism from Black Rose Federation. Uber drivers form a grassroots union. Quote, they have since crafted a list of 14 demands, led 4 one-day strikes, and have grown to a membership of 6,000 drivers. All but 2 are male in the male-dominated field of drivers. Kumon is structured horizontally, with regional sections meeting regularly in parks or other available spaces to discuss strategy, and in turn choose delegates to larger general meetings. The union has no dues and supports itself largely by sale of stickers and t-shirts. Drivers can become members by proving they are an active driver and answering 3 basic questions. 1, what's your perspective on this group? 2, what do you know about what working with Uber is like? And 3, are you a freedom fighter or a loser? Unquote. We should all have a list of questions like that. What would your list be?
Chile, urgent. Anarchist prisoner Tamara Sol transferred to the maximum security section in Santiago. From Act for Freedom Now. There was a news item on Tamara Sol previously as she was being targeted for having attempted an escape from Valparaiso prison. This is a very brief update about the state having moved her to a men's prison, violating their own rules, of course, and urging solidarity.
Russia, support anarchist and Antifa prisoners in St. Petersburg and Penza, from Contra Info. This article is about fundraising for a bunch of anarchists and others who've been arrested for, quote, participation in a terrorist organization, unquote. Stories of arrests in Russia are always nerve-wracking because of the state-endorsed torture that is more explicit and common there. The article gives brief information on these arrests and lists multiple ways to send money, including many e-coin types. Quote, tortures were also applied to witnesses. Ilya Kapustin was beaten up and tortured with electric shock while police demanded that he give testimony on whether his acquaintances were up to, quote, something dangerous. Numerous traces of the stun gun usage on him were recorded later by a health service, unquote.
Cancun, Mexico. Explosive attack against the PRI Municipal Management Committee by Attack Cells Against Devastation. From Insurrection News, a brief non-leftist communique, a relief after listening to the Center Can't Hold podcast. Quote, we will not stay silent despite the internal security law that they have already legislated that they want to use through terror to eradicate any attempt or trace of subversion using the violence unleashed by the mafias, who everyone knows are directly connected to the state, as a pretext. This is why at midnight on the 29th of January, an explosive device was left at the gates of the Municipal Management Committee, CDM, of the PRI in Cancun. There was no news coverage about it or any reports, as during this time it does not suit them to have any kind of bad reputation. But the attempts continue against them and against all those who participate in the destruction of the earth. Unquote.
Anarchist is often hurled as a slur, but can anarchists teach us something about democracy? From the Washington Post by Jacqueline Jones. This mainstream article is mostly someone jumping on the recent Lucy Parsons bandwagon, inspired by the new biography that we've talked about twice already. But it also attempts to position anarchism, not anarchy, of course, as a potential field to be mined. Quote, is it possible that self-identified anarchists from the past can tell us something about our politics in the present? Specifically, in the quest for a just and equitable society, are political labels of all kinds not just irrelevant, but counterproductive and even divisive? Unquote.
Santiago, Chile, responsibility claim from conspiracy of the Black Cells for the coordinated attack against Catholic churches on January 12, 2018. From Insurrection News. Quote, at dawn on January 12th, the night of the Hooded Moon, we decided to attack one of the most repugnant and murderous entities in history, an entity that, based on some stories, has plunged millions of people into misery and immersed their hands in passivity. We claim responsibility for the attacks against 5 Catholic temples in the sectors of Quinta Normal, Vient Portales, Central Estación, Peñalolén, and Recoleta. 2 of the devices did not achieve their material purpose, but they did manage to raise a large media uproar. We hope our actions motivate and encourage other people to position themselves in a combative manner against the clergy, capital, and all forms of domination. We say to them that there are no limits when it comes to attacking authority. Conviction, dedication, and reflection are great motivators when launching the attack. Unquote. As with schools, too many anarchists let churches slide. We appreciate that some people in Chile are not doing that.
Media, video, become ungovernable from Vimeo.com, 11 minutes long. quote, video compilation of anarchist street activity in 2017 throughout the so-called United States, unquote. I hear that it's a bit long, but also that it is a normal example of graffiti videos.
France, issue 2 of Kairos, French language anarchist paper, is out January 2018. From Act for Freedom Now, a two-page PDF that seems to provide a recipe for a Molotov cocktail from ingredients available in prison, or at least in French prisons. My French is too spotty to get more than a headline or two. Some reflections on solidarity is the first piece, but perhaps yours is not, dear listener. Quote, in ancient Greek, kairos means an idea to be caught at the right moment, a favorable occasion, a propitious moment that allows the success of an action among the risks of the world and the uncertainty of external circumstances. For this reason, it is necessary to move on to practice. Learn to catch this kairos, on the one hand by trying to recognize it without hiding behind the easy pretext of circumstances, on the other hand by preparing to act so as not to let this opportunity be missed. In short, this paper represents an instrument to get out of the pure abstraction of ideas and put our discourse into practical perspective with the will to spread anarchist action of attack and the subversion of the world, unquote.
Video, Con los rebeldes siempre, always with the rebels, 2017, in Spanish with English subtitles, from Anonymous, 38 minutes. A video about the Mapuche struggle and the murders and state repression against activists in the Mapuche fight. The Mapuche struggle echoes indigenous fights north of the border, including a quote from this video, "Without territory, the Mapuche do not exist." The Diné said, "Relocation is death."
Review, Anarchist Encounters, Russia in Revolution, from anarchismo.net. A report on a new book compiled by Anthony Zurbrug of writings by visitors to the newly formed Soviet Union. Quote, all in all, this is a highly recommended book which adds to the efforts being done by Anaris Maryland Press of making available to an English-speaking audience a number of documents of the international anarchist movement which are rarely available in this language. However critical of the centralization and the dictatorship of the single party that developed in the USSR, these testimonies, as we have seen, are far from a black and white narrative, but one that is complex, emotional, but nuanced. If there is hurt and bitterness in these pages, it is precisely because they are not detached observers, unquote.
New York City Anarchist Black Cross Illustrated Guide, version 13, is uploaded. Quote, this is our guide to political prisoners and prisoners of war we support. Feel free to download, print, and distribute as you see fit. The PDF file has been optimized to print in booklet layout through Acrobat, unquote. This is a 28-page PDF with prisoners categorized as Black New African Liberation, Anarchist, Indigenous, Hacks/InfoLeaks, Green Scare /Earth Liberation/Animal Liberation, Other National Liberation, GI or War Resister, Anti-Police, and Virgin Island 3. It includes three sections on getting involved, how to write a letter, and staying safe. A great start for a letter writing party. Have one today.
Podcasts. Anarchy Radio, January 30th, 2018. An hour, no guest speaker this week.
TFS Radio, Jalil Muntakim on Revolution, Spirituality, and More, and Remembering Le Guin, an hour and 7 minutes. Kevin Rashid Johnson is a prisoner who's being targeted by prison officials. Info on who to yell at is early in this podcast. Sean starts at 6 minutes and 40 seconds. He waxes enthusiastic about a government shutdown and what a government shutdown actually means. At 11 minutes and 30 seconds, there's a brief retrospective on Le Guin and her significance to anarchists and most of her speech at the 2014 National Book Award. At 16:40, the section on Jalil Muntakim starts. Here he speaks about the Attica Uprising, intercommunalism, internationalism, nationalism, and revolution. The rest of this final straw is on an interview from It's Going Down with an anarchist from Turkey on the situation in Afrin.
The Center Can't Hold, Building Power from Below, a podcast from It's Going Down, an hour and 6 minutes. A talk with Black Rose members Enrique from Durham and Andy from Miami with Crudo. Most of the hour is taken up with conversation about a new Black Rose position paper which says that the elites are in crisis. They were able to do that without mentioning Trump, which Crudo was not. Mostly they are occupied by questions of liberalism and how to make sure that people on the street are not confused into liberalism, because it's confusion that is the problem. While the Black Rose members talked about the left as a problem, it was unclear to me how they were not leftist, unless leftism is simply about elections. Crudo did ask an organizational question, which made the BR members explain the need for large organization to address global problems. There was also a lot of time spent on the need for anarchists to be working within electoral struggles, working with non-anarchists like DSA, etc. On a technical note, the sound was spotty throughout, which meant missing several words that might have been meaningful. Or might not, right?
Rev Left Radio Podcast, Prison Abolitionism, Abolitionist Feminism, and the Anarchist Black Cross, from It's Going Down. Brett, a pro-worker revolutionary, interviews two prison abolitionists, Victoria Law, who here addresses mostly feminist and LGBTQ issues, and Nestor of the ABC and the Omaha Freedom Fund. The Vicky section stops at about 41 minutes. The Nestor one starts at about 42:20.
Topic of the week, creating online anarchist spaces. In the past, anarchistnews.org hosted an IRC chat for interested people to converse in real time. And we're thinking of bringing it back. If not IRC, then something more modern, such as Matrix. Online spaces for anarchist discussion are seriously lacking, and although many anarchists denounce tech because they believe it's harmful to our social relationships or because they don't trust it, using anarchist infrastructure to communicate with each other surely must be better than using other social media platforms such as Facebook or Twitter. And although IRC and other alternatives may seem too obscure or technical for some, everyone can benefit from learning a little bit about how online networking and security works. For those who don't know, IRC users can create channels based on topics. These channels could be reading groups that discuss texts on a weekly basis, or topic-centered discussions on green anarchism, prison abolition, ecoism, or whatever a user's heart desires. They could be project-based discussions or event-based discussions. They could be announcements or calls for content. They could be workshops and skill shares. They can be real-time discussions of social dramas as they unfold. Would you be interested in participating in an online chat like this? What are some of the uses you envision that could enrich our online communication while freeing ourselves from the grips of Facebook's attention-hijacking algorithms? What are your concerns? What are your thoughts about why these once-prevalent online anarchist spaces have dwindled to almost nothing? And how can we create online spaces that don't suffer the same fate? And with me to discuss this is actually Amuse. So, hello, Amuse. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, so one of the kind of best things that came out of this topic of the week, I think, was that I feel the majority of the comments really showed an enthusiasm for this idea. Sometimes that enthusiasm was tempered by, you know, a skepticism about whether or not this concept might be successful, but still an enthusiasm nonetheless. And I'm very excited about that enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's nice that you're still able to read that kind of tone in comments, because for me it's very hard at this point to parse out the nonsense from the material, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that it surprised me, because I definitely expected to hear a lot more of a tone of how, you know, technology is the end of us and it's the ruin of us, and there definitely was a little bit of that, but then I guess also thinking about it, it's a little bit funny to have somebody using technology to talk about how it's completely worthless to even try. And so, yeah, I definitely think that a lot of people are interested in providing space for, you know, like-minded people to have conversations like this. And, you know, they're also tired of the, you know, the, like using Facebook and using these kind of really constructed top-down control networks. But there just really isn't a lot of alternative. And so, yeah, I was really encouraged to hear that.
So as this week has progressed, you know, one of the things that for listeners will be maybe perhaps challenging about this conversation is that we are going to talk about internet technologies specifically. And what has your impression been about our choices up till now, which has mostly been a talk about IRC and Matrix? And did you get any information that you didn't have before based on this conversation?
Yes. And so, I mean, obviously, I think the one big thing on people's mind is the security, and in a couple of different ways. And so kind of you have this group of people who just has no idea about how anything works. And of course, they're concerned about the security, but they don't even know where to start with that. And then I think you have people kind of like me who I'm a little bit savvy. I am concerned about the security, and I'm like really eager to learn, but I also understand that it's challenging, it's complicated, and it is a little scary. And kind of my take on that is that, you know, my vision of what this would look like is not creating the perfect, you know, super secret, airtight security where, like, everybody can just, like, you know, talk with reckless abandon and not worry about it being monitored. I don't think that's a feasible goal for any kind of online communication. However, I think that, you know, we can have a lot of conversations that are of mutual interest to the people who visit the site. That the security is kind of not a concern. We're not really worried about that. Somebody in a comment put it very well. They said it's kind of about talking theory and shitposting, so we don't have to really get all paranoid about the security. And that's kind of, you know, where I'm at with it. But then I think there's a tier beyond that, which is that these security issues, I think, are really important. And I think there are people who do have knowledge about it, and I really hope to be able to connect with them and to kind of, you know, build my knowledge and learn more about it, because I do really think that, you know, networking security and communicating online and the security of that is really important to all of us. I mean, anybody certainly who is listening to this conversation, right? Because regardless of whether or not they think that communicating online is a good solution, they're doing it. And so they might as well be doing it with those security concerns in mind rather than just, you know, not knowing anything about it.
Well, why don't you actually be a bit more specific? What security concerns should someone have at this point in a project, or any time they connect with a service that someone else hosts?
Right. And so I think, you know, whenever you're using an online service that you are not hosting and that is not a direct tunnel between you and somebody that you know personally, you should be worried about that information being stored on an external server. And maybe you trust the entity that's storing it. But the thing is that if the government subpoenas that information, it doesn't matter how secure their server is, they're going to give it to the government for the most part if it is stored. And, you know, that's happened to me. And so I definitely think that that is a legitimate concern. But even above and beyond that, if you're on IRC, nothing is stopping you from preventing any user from just copy pasting the log and posting it wherever they want. And so those are two different kinds of security concerns that I think are legitimate and that people should be thinking about. They should definitely, you know, not be talking about anything online that they would not want copy pasted across the internet. But again, I think there are a lot of things we can talk about where that's just not a concern. At least I hope that's true.
I mean, I think that this is culturally, and I think that there is a history to talk about here. Yeah, there's 100 directions I can go. And I guess the main point I'll make, which is really what we're talking about, is attack vector. Who are you concerned about when you think about your fundamental security questions? And you address the question of the government, and you address the question of the malicious actor. But the biggest concern that all of us should have as it pertains security, privacy, etc., are corporations. By and large, our conversations are of interest to somebody, and that person is someone who's going to feed it into probably some sort of AI-type machine and parse out the demographics of who it is that's having the conversation and this, that, and the others towards the end of profit, profit motive and all the rest. And this is actually one, the primary reason that I and other people want to be off of other people's infrastructure, especially people who are productizing our content. And of course, it's useful to say here, like usual, if you're using a service online and you're not paying for it, then you are the product. You are not the customer. And in this context, the context of a conversation that you're having with strangers or near strangers, that's a really important aspect. How is it that someone can use that conversation to build products and services in the future? And the answer might surprise you.
I think that's such a great point. And I think the other thing to extend that is that unless you have a very deep and sophisticated understanding of how these algorithms work, it's hard to appreciate just how much metadata can have that effect as well. In other words, it doesn't have to be the government targeting you as an individual. These companies and their ability to use metadata to say things like you were saying about your demographics or the things you've liked, the interests that you have and that you've shared with other people, can really be as powerful as if somebody was going out of their way to target you. And so I completely agree that it is so problematic to participate in these corporate networks, because that's exactly their interest. And maybe their interest is, you know, it's just to advertise to you. But I think, again, without having a really, you know, sophisticated understanding of how all of that stuff works, it can be hard to appreciate just how actually detrimental that can be to people's experiences.
I think that anyone who's ever tried to do, you know, organizing or really any type of activism recognizes that advertising to strangers is not so different than trying to organize them. And this is, you know, why people refer to Facebook as being a CIA front organization. You know, because really, in fact, that intelligence that they're using isn't just for a particular singular monetized purpose. It's for that purpose and any other purpose they can think of into infinity. And, you know, it's also worth mentioning that the Signal Project, which, you know, obviously a lot of people, myself included, rely on for privacy, has a similar problem to the one we're talking about when you refer to metadata. Because by and large, the fact that I send, you know, 10 messages a week to Amuse means that there is a record of that relationship, even if the content is obscured. And so it's worth reflecting on the fact that, by and large, a lot of things that we sort of assume are on the DL just aren't necessarily. It's in the eye of the beholder.
That's right. I mean, it's scary to think about. I mean, anything from, you know, the time of day that you participate in sending these messages, or, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can converge on that information. But I mean, and I think that that's all really important to be mindful of. But I also think that, I mean, we're talking about communicating on Facebook versus communicating on, you know, hopefully networks where people are trying to be mindful of these things and take precautions and be self-hosted and get rid of metadata to the extent that it's possible. And so not that it's a perfect solution and not that it is airtight, but at least it's better than the alternatives. At least that's what I'm hoping that we can try to work toward.
So to just give you an update, you know, as people may or may not realize, I am in fact the person who is trying to hack together whatever solution it is that we decide that we're going to go with. And I do have a little bit of ambivalence about this, meaning that I can kind of go either way. I'm at the point where Matrix is running, but I've yet successfully connected a client to it. And so partially that issue had to do with the certificate and how the certificate was configured in Matrix versus a website. And so I think I've resolved that issue, but I still, basically at this point, I'm troubleshooting the problem of why a client isn't connecting specifically with Matrix. And I know it's sort of going to be a couple hour project, and I just haven't had the hours to use on trying to problem solve it. But it is making me reflect a little bit, because I do think that there's an argument for IRC in this context, because I do think that the best way to get like an ANews user to use IRC is to make it web available. And I'm not sure, like, I just haven't, because I haven't actually connected a client yet to our server, I haven't connected a web client to our server either. And so, you know, and because I know of the Riot app, and I know that quite a few people use it, my suspicion was that that was going to be like a, you know, a gangbuster solution, especially because it works on mobile. And I actually haven't done the research to see if there are any good IRC mobile apps, but I assume that there are because it's such an old protocol. But I guess the argument for Matrix for me at this point is entirely based on a set of questions that I don't have the answer to yet. And that is, like, if you just log into an IRC server, you immediately run into the challenge of the fact that your IP address is broadcast to everybody who's involved. Mm-hmm. So outside of Tor and more technical solutions to that problem, my initial hope is that we can figure out a way so that when people attach to the IRC server with the web browser, that they hopefully come from the IP address of the web browser, which will be the very server that the IRC server is on. That's mm-hmm. my current hope. And I'm just not sure what the push and pulls are on Matrix in particular, because I'm just stopped at a certain point in trying to connect a client to it. But allegedly I have the server running right now, and it's just a matter of troubleshooting.
Yeah, so I feel like this question is kind of exactly the horizon of my knowledge about this, because when I connect to IRC, I recognize that, you know, my IP address is connected to that. And when I connect to Freenode, for example, I had to reach out to the admins to ask for them to cloak my IP address. And the only thing I'll say is that although that is kind of in your face in terms of your IP address being out there, one thing that I do like about that is it's actually quite transparent. Whereas I did connect to not ANews's Matrix server, but a Matrix server, and the app was really slick, and there was like drag and drop, and it was wonderful, but like I had no idea what was going on. And for me personally, that's just, that's like where I'm at in terms of what I'm able to understand and what I'm trying to learn more about. And so whether or not that bears on ultimately how actually secure it is, I can't say. But again, like, one thing I really do like about IRC is how that really does kind of put it in people's spaces. And another thing I'll mention is that I noticed that in the comments on this theme of the week, IRC really seemed to be the predominant thing that people thought was a good idea. Even the people who were commenting on using Tor and you know, these security concerns, that seemed to be kind of the, I don't want to call it a consensus, but the thing that people probably mentioned the most. And so, yeah, I definitely don't know the answer either, and I'm open to experimenting with Matrix, but I kind of feel like I'm in the same place where I could go either way.
Okay, well, we obviously know that we have one technical problem around IRC also that we need to solve if we're going to run that. But I do want to mention just two other solutions, just so they're out there. And by the way, this conversation has already gone a little longer than we normally go. The first is, someone mentioned the Wire app, which I looked into mm-hmm. enough to say that that's a no-go solution, because the hosting that, you know, when we talk about using these clients, we're also talking about there being a server component, and that, you know, the reason we're motivated to even talk about any of this is because we want a server that's under our control. And, you know, whether or not you like me or not, I've been doing, you know, internet anarchism for nearly 15 years and have a proven track record of interfacing with the state and have not had a problem in terms of handing over data and some of the things that RiseUp are accused of. And primarily, I am not comparing myself to RiseUp because they are much larger and more talented than I am. But up till now, I've fended off federal interventions and have, you know, and have a track record of not keeping logs. All that said, the Wire app is actually a client. You connect to a server that's controlled by the people who are trying to monetize the Wire app. And so that's a no-go solution. When we did this last time, we'll call it the Anarchist News Community, we actually didn't use IRC. We used a server called Silk. And Silk is an encrypted IRC server. The problem is that you can't use IRC clients to connect to it. And so it's sort of a no-go if we're trying to get a broader group of people to try it out. Because, you know, at the very least, someone can use Pigeon, command line, and, you know, we'll build some sort of a web client so that you can connect to the IRC server. Whereas with Silk, yes, your IP addresses were encrypted, but, you know, you had to basically use command line tools. And that's obviously far greater of a bar than we're willing to use for our clients. Do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, just that I'm really excited that people are interested in this idea, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really looking forward to trying it out and trying to solve some of these problems along the way.
Awesome. Well, thank you for starting this conversation and provoking me to action.
Thanks.
Bye.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lino Mabel, written by Jackie. The editorial was written by Amuse, produced and narrated by Chisel and a Friend. Thanks to Aragorn and Amuse for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more about anarchy, books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material are available at littleblackheart.com, and news and up-to-the-minute commentary at anarchistnews.org. Jadboy Snuda, Jadboy Ravodny.